You know, Dr. Luke, that wrote the Gospel of Luke, revealed that the resurrection was God's last word and that death is no more. There is now no need to fear death because death could not imprison the Son of God. The Gospel of Luke records the accounts of four different incidents where people brought back to life. I'm sure a lot of morticians and funeral directors hate this passage because it's a threat to their profession, because death puts them out of business eventually, you know, because we know where we're going like that. But you know, the first account was of the widow's son in Luke chapter 7 when the Lord raised the young man from the dead during a funeral procession. The next one showed that Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead. And the third report was Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, who was brought back to life. Well, the finale, or the grand finale to the fourth story, is that of the Lord's resurrection. The tomb could not hold him, and the stone was rolled from the door, not because the Lord could not get out, but so the world could look inside. God truly had the last word in Jerusalem that morning 2,000 years ago. And in our so-called modern sophisticated mindset, lest we forget about the simple things that God has done for us. If you recall in this last verse of the scripture passage I read in Luke chapter 19, it said that they doubted. Thomas was already among them, it seems like. They could not believe. They thought it was idle talk is what they believed it was. Well, it wasn't idle talk. What those women reported was the absolute truth. It was the absolute truth. And I think it's kind of funny. It was the women who went to the tomb and not the men. The men were too scared. They were hiding in the upper room, and the women took it upon themselves to go to the tomb, knowing there could be Roman soldiers there. That is the interesting fact in this story today. But you know, simple things a lot of times get overlooked. How many of us pray daily that God will take care of us and that we thank God for the food we have, the roof over our heads, the clothing that we wear, for all the small things that we just take for granted? God gives those to us. And you know, now I'm not saying we don't have to work for them, but it's an amazing thing how we tend to take it all for granted, and we look down upon simple things or simple-minded ways of doing things. There's a recollection by Karl Barth. He was a renowned Swiss biblical scholar of the Presbyterian Reformed tradition. And he was asked once, what's the single most important truth that he had learned as a scholar and a theologian with at least 3 PhDs? And Karl Barth replied without hesitation, but with the utmost humility, the greatest factor he's discovered in theology was, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's about as simplistic as you can get, but what profound depth out of that one line there is given. So this morning, we must look at the promises and yes, even the surprise of Easter. There are three of them, and they're depicted with an empty cross, an empty tomb, and even empty burial clothes. It is the very fact that each of these are empty confirms God's promises are real. You can look the Bible over from Genesis to the Revelation, and you will see that God never broke a promise at all to his people. We break our promises all the time. Have you ever been in a situation where you seem to say, oh God, I'll do this. I'll even become a missionary to China if you'll do this for me. And guess what? An hour later, after it's done, we tend to forget what we promised the Lord. But God never forgets his promises to us. Keep that in mind when you feel like your faith is waning, that you don't feel that good of a Christian that day, just think about God's promises. Because, you know the description of everything empty in this sermon shows that the very fact that each of these are empty confirms God's promises are real, because they couldn't hold or contain the Lord to be assured of the completeness of God's promises, confirmed eternal life. Think about that for a moment. Well, let's begin with the empty cross. Because the cross was empty, we had the promise of forgiven sins, all based on that first Easter morning. It was dawn, but the sun had not risen yet. Several women were going to prepare the Lord's body for permanent burial. Silhouetted by the glow of the pink sky, there were three empty crosses still on the hill called Golgotha, or the place of the skull. The Sabbath had been the previous day, so the crosses were still in place. The Romans, the religious leaders, and yes, the disciples knew it too about those crosses. Jesus Christ had been placed in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb on Friday, buried with the Roman seal attached to the tomb so that no one could tamper with it without Rome's approval. The women paused briefly to view the cross, then continued their way down the path to the tomb. As they walked, and I'm sure they surely wondered about who would move the heavy 2-ton stone. I know none of us around here could do it by ourselves, even when we ate spinach like Popeye. You just think about that. That was a big rock there. The soldiers would not help them, and besides, they would need to ask their permission to go inside the tomb anyway. These women were up against it. Suddenly, they could feel the earth shake, move, and tremble. Frightened, they approached the burial site, but were stunned by some remarkable scenes in front of them. The soldiers were unconscious. They were in a deep sleep. You will see throughout the Bible at times God uses that deep sleep syndrome throughout. Start with Adam. God put him in a deep sleep, and guess what? Out came his rib, and here was Eve. But there were also times when King Saul, who was trying to kill David, was put in a deep sleep, and so were all his men. And David even went into Saul's camp and stole the spear and the shield of King Saul. And then later David was over across a creek and yelled, and it woke Saul up. And nobody around knew how David even got over there, because they were all sleeping. It's happened numerous times in the Bible where God put a deep sleep on people. And right here is the best example about those Roman soldiers. But alas, something even more fantastic. The stone had been moved with someone or two people on top of that rock. The words uttered by these glistening, shining, angelic beings were, "Fear not. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay." It is because the empty tomb is the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the promise that we too will be raised to eternal life. But why was the tomb empty? I will reiterate that again. Why was the tomb empty? Empty. Because Christ was alive, and the promise to us is that we can too can live when we die. This is the second promise of Easter. But it doesn't stop there. There is one more promise connected with Easter, which is important too. Easter is also the promise of empty burial clothes. After the angel had spoken to the women, they immediately returned to the tomb. Well, they reported it to the apostles, returned to the apostles and reported it. With this incredible news, Simon Peter, he immediately jumped up and raced out to the tomb to see for himself. It didn't take him long to discover that the tomb was just the way the women had described it, vacant. It was vacant. This meant one thing. Christ is alive. if someone had stolen his body, they wouldn't have removed Christ's burial clothes and folded them up neatly, would they? They would have grabbed the body and taken it out without any care about his clothes. And truly, Christ was resurrected. Believe that. That first Easter Sunday, as the women went to the grave, they had no idea what had occurred. They didn't know a bit more. It was going to be the discovery of a lifetime. Off in the distance, again, stood an empty cross, the promise that their sins were forgiven. At the end of the journey was an empty tomb, the promise of eternal life. Inside the tomb were empty burial clothes, the promise that they would once again have fellowship with Jesus Christ, their living Savior. The promises fulfilled that day remain the same today, so that we all may know the freedom of forgiven sins, eternal life in heaven, and fellowship with Jesus Christ. Never forget that we have a lot to look forward to. Our life will only just begin when we are in heaven with our Lord, where our loved ones have preceded us. This is the miracle and promise of Easter. Why should anyone be reluctant not to believe such things? Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. It is the most pivotal event which has ever taken place in the history of the world. We give thanks that you thought of us by coming to earth in human form in the name of Jesus Christ. We give thanks, O Lord, and we do not simplify it. We glorify that name. We ask you, O God, help us and lead and guide us every day that we may express the meaning of resurrection to those around us. We give all this thanks to the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.